Welcome to the Realize Soul podcast with Tessa Alburn. Receive a healthy dose of soothing vibes, heartfelt stories, and sweet soul wisdom for thriving outside of the conventional world.
Hello there. This is Realize Soul, and I am Tessa Lynn Alburn. And today, we're going to be talking about standing your ground. And I think this is an interesting topic for a number of people who find themselves at a certain awareness in life where they don't want to be like that old person that they were. They don't want to be reacting the way they used to. And then they might find themselves sort of like shutting down actually more in like, it's like a regret response, right? So they're sort of like, oh, that's who I used to be. I don't want to do it that way anymore. I was loud and cranky, or I was super ornery and I better just not say anything, or I don't know, I should just let this blow over. There are all kinds of ways that not standing one's ground can manifest, and ultimately it's not a healthy choice. So it is inevitable. I want you to get this. It's absolutely inevitable in life to have friends, to have relationships, work relationships, all kinds of relationships, even just people that you meet through everyday commerce disagree with you and want you to do something differently than what is authentic for you. Now, it really gets in the nitty-gritty when we're talking about intimate relationships and family and sometimes work situations. But I'm gonna present a few different scenarios here so you can kind of wrap your mind around this. And then I'm going to give you some ways that are going to help you to stand your ground and why you should do that. I would say that for most people, where there's something, a place in your life where you want to stand your ground, you want to say your piece, but you just can't do it, part of the problem is you're super tied in to the energy of another person. So you could be feeling put upon by that person, and you're like, how can I maneuver through this safely? Or more commonly, you're connected to an outcome that you want to have in that relationship, and you're expecting, hoping, praying, dreaming, fantasizing that one day that other person is going to finally get you and accept you. At one point in my life, I worked for a company and I would call the environment toxic. I would label it as that. Literally, I had a supervisor that was almost like a two-headed beast. They could be kind, cool, and collected when anyone else was with me in the room, and absolutely vicious when I was there by myself. They didn't want to talk to me. They didn't want to give me any time. They didn't even want to look up except to sneer. They certainly didn't want to answer my questions. And there was just really no time that was okay for them. For me, that experience was extremely exhausting emotionally, and it was very, very mentally draining. It definitely took a toll on me in my personal life in addition to my work life. Now, the challenging people can show up anywhere, right? They can be in any kind of relationship. And I can't tell you the number of divorce people that I've worked with or whom I know who still have problems in this area. So why is this happening? It's happening because it all goes back to our original programming. It goes back to how we were conditioned as young people. And we came to believe sometimes that negativity was something we reinterpreted as care, as love, as the way things were supposed to be. And anything that threatened that a initial environment was a threat to our safety, our overall survival. So this is something that just happens automatically in childhood development, where we absorb whatever's going on and then we try to make it the right thing, because to look at anything else would just be too scary. So what happens is we learn to become people pleasers. We learn to be fawners, you know, booing and eyeing over others. We might take on the dissociative state of freezing. And sometimes we might become martyrs or manipulators. Often, whatever category we fall into, we are overanalyzing every word we say and gesture we make. We question ourselves unendingly. It just seems like in those little loops, just replay and replay and replay, sometimes for years. If only I had, or if only I hadn't, what's wrong with me? Right? And this connects in with the whole belief system that we're not good enough. But we've got to figure out what were those actual hooks. What are the ways that got into us so that we can recognize what's really going on and pull ourselves into the present instead of reacting from our past programming. One of the things that I find absolutely essential to this is recognizing that we have a need that was not getting met back then. And in the case of my work situation, I definitely had needs that were not getting met. I had an inner need to be understood. I had a need to be appreciated. And then I actually had the work needs, right? I need information to get the job done. And I felt like my entire career was threatened. And that was not true. For years, this went on. And I continued to get a paycheck. And the toxic energy still went on. So in the theme of our standing our ground, I think there are a couple of other things that I want to share with you. And one is, when I was young, I had been at college, and then I'd gone back to where my mom lived, and she was a church choir director. And I remember going to a rehearsal, and it was in the evening. It was a late rehearsal, and in the middle of the week sometime. And then I ran out to the car to get something. And as I was just turning to come back into the church, a man grabbed me and molested me. And just like a quick, you know, he grabbed me. I couldn't get away from him. I just didn't know how to break away from that. And he just reached out and molested me. And it was so shocking and so awful. And he took off. And I'm just like super grateful, of course, it wasn't more than that. But it didn't need to be a whole lot more. It left me with just loads and loads of shame, questioning myself, what happened, all that stuff. And I did not get what I needed when I went back into the church. And, you know, everybody could tell something was going on with me. And certainly I didn't want to explain it there. It was just too much for me to even process. But I was too scared to stay outside. I had to go back inside. But what happened over time was I just felt awful about it. Even though other people by then were getting mad about this guy, blah, blah, nobody actually knew what kind of support I needed. And they talked about me rather than to me. So notice if you're doing that to anybody in your life. And a couple months later, my mom came up with a solution. But in the meantime, I was just like, oh my God, you know, how could I have done that? How could I have been so weak that I couldn't get away? How could I have not have actually met him when, because I went to hit him and I missed. And that just felt so disempowering. I was like, what's wrong with me that I couldn't even hit the guy? I mean, I'd hit my sister plenty of times growing up, you know. It's not like I couldn't have landed a punch in the arm or something, but I was just really, really thrown off in the moment, of course. But I questioned myself over and over and over. Well, my mom's solution was to have me and my sister to go take self-defense classes with somebody that she knew, this very nice man in her church choir, or who had been, I think he had been in one of her other church choirs, actually. And he was very kind, and he tried to teach us, you know, a few things, but it was just awkward and strange, and I never felt it. I never felt like my own strength. I never felt myself in my body. I was still in the emotional swirl of what had happened. But years later, I came to my own solution around that. And I was living in LA, and some friends who had been taking Kenpo karate, they introduced me to a woman who was coming into town to do some self-defense classes. So I got involved in that, and it was amazing for me. At first, I was so scared. I was like, what's this going to be like? I won't know what to do. I had all these doubts, etc. And in the process of learning self-defense, something started to shift inside of me. And eventually, I went on and I started taking Kenpo karate lessons at the dojo. And over time, like I think a couple of years, I remember one day going for a walk and finally feeling like I can handle life again. I can be safe. I can stand my ground now. There's nothing wrong with me. I didn't cause that guy to do this, that, or the other from umpteen years ago. I could feel it in my body. So there were two primary elements from learning self-defense that come to mind around this and what I needed to stand my ground. And they apply to many people in many situations, whether or not you need self-defense. The two things that were relevant that helped me to change were, number one, really using my voice, right? Learning how to have power come out of my voice. And in self-defense and karate, it's, you know, it's the ki, it's, oh, you know, it's that connection with the breath that you see all the action stars doing, oh yeah, all that stuff. But with doing that, it turned into a no, there's no way I'm going to allow someone to do something to me, right? So it was an inner conviction that also occurred through the connection with my voice. And this is a really important aspect. It's feeling that energy. It's not just saying no. It's really feeling the no and knowing the no inside of ourselves. The other piece was the embodiment, right? Like fully committed in my body to stand up for myself no matter what. I would be immovable. Now, this was in the context of needing to protect myself physically, but in our lives now, you know, that may not be relevant to you. However, the energy of your commitment is absolutely relevant in order to stand your ground on anything. Otherwise, you just become somebody who uses a lot of words to try and convince other people. You wind up defending, you wind up telling all kinds of stories that are just not important. When you feel it inside yourself, there is zero mushiness. Your confidence is just there. And this is what we're really needing when it comes to standing our ground, speaking up for ourselves. Now, in order to then actually speak up for yourself, let's say you've got a situation in your life where you're like, oh, I'm just going round and round with this person. It's not resolving. I keep telling them what I need. I keep telling them this is what's happening for me. It's not working. You probably don't really know what it is you need. So I'm going to ask you to go deeper on that and actually figure out what you need. Now, when I ask most people and clients what they think they need, they almost always say something about the other person. I need them too. I need their behavior to this, that, or the other. Well, unless you're talking about your children, it probably is not really what your need is. And even with children, that's another whole area of finesse and clarity that as parents, you're going to want to explore. The first need that you probably want to address is what I need to be truthful in myself here. What do I need to be honest? And then that might require you to look a little bit deeper and say, oh, what I'm really needing is to feel cared for. I'm needing to feel cared for. And this is the thing, you can't put it on the other person. You just need to be clear on your need first. Then you make the invitation, you use your voice to ask for it. I need this, and I'm asking you to help me with that. I'm asking for your support with that. So it's something like that. But more importantly, it's the energy. And if you're tangled up in people-pleasing energy, it's never going to work. You can't say your need hoping that they are going to be okay. Oh, trying to take care of their feelings. It doesn't work. You've been doing that your whole life, and it's not getting you anywhere. And here's what you can start paying attention to. If you notice that you're defending yourself or explaining your position over and over, the whys you need, what it is that you need, you're actually hooking back into the energy lines that were part of your programming when you were young. And those energy lines keep you in weakness and feeling helpless. Instead, you want to come into your adult empowerment. Now, one thing for sure, whenever you're expressing anything or you're in relationship with anyone, I definitely want you to be aware of your actual safety. So if you're concerned about that, just stop and ask yourself internally, oh, am I actually safe right now? And then state your need. Say less, not more. And you're going to want to make sure you're not attached to the other person's behavior. They have to do this, they have to do that. No, you're the one that needs to make the change energetically. You've got to come into a place of empowerment with or without them. So I'm going to repeat that. We must acknowledge to ourselves that it's up to us to change. And we must unhook from wanting the other person or persons to be different. Now, in the case of the old toxic work situation that I was in, I had to use my words clearly and concisely. I had to be very clear about the words that I chose. And one day, my supervisor, you know, it's so funny, whenever I think supervisor, I hear the word in the back of my mind, superior. So there's a definite connection there. Many of us have that. But they were actually not my superior in many ways. They just were my supervisor. One day in particular, they questioned me. I had gone in for a meeting, had an agenda, I was super prepared, and they questioned me. And the question just didn't make any sense to me. So I took a breath and I said, so it sounds like you're doubting me, because that's the energy I was picking up on. And I said, "What? May I ask why? Sounds like you're doubting me. May I ask how come?" And then they actually revealed to me that someone else in the office had said something about me. And so I took another breath and I simply said they were mistaken. And then it took them a few moments to take that in. And they're like, oh, okay. And then what I said next was, what I need from you as my supervisor is to ask me directly from now on, because I'd be happy to clear up any miscommunications or misunderstandings quickly so they don't go down into these kinds of places. I gave them a moment. They were like, yeah, that sounds good. And then I just affirmed, I really want you to know I appreciate your directness. Thank you. Now, in order for me to get to that place, I had to believe in myself. I had to work through a whole bunch of emotional stuff. I had to really get it wasn't me making them believe whatever it was they believed about me. Now, I carried an energy of lack of self-worth. So the experience did get drawn into my circle, into my field, as I like to say. I got super clear on my intentions, who I was as a light being, my values, and my work ethic. And then I connected my values as a leader in the workplace and as a person who puts compassion and peace at the forefront of every situation. Essentially, I had to lead my superior to a better conclusion. And with a couple simple and direct questions, I had to let go of whatever their response was, any expectation that it was going to work out, because I really, really had no idea if it would. I just knew inside me, I was embodying the truth of me, the truth of my being. And that's what caused our relationship to be entirely different going forward. You know, some people will say, oh, you've got to be in your heart, right? Be in your heart for this, that, or the other to really speak your truth. And I want to make a distinction here. Because for me at that time, if I'd been in my heart, it would not have been pretty because my heart was broken. So sometimes our heart is hurting or in pain or angry even. And that's because of the old programming and this living in the past and all that stuff. So we want to call in our higher self. We want to connect with our soul. We want to connect with the highest part of ourself that is can be in the present. So here are some ways for you to start standing your ground. Be an adult. To do that, you might even need to remind yourself of your current biological age, right? It's from our adult place that we can take responsibility. Next, know your need and drill it way down to the essence of that need. What is it you really, really need? The bottom line, if you will, because it's never the story. Also, connect to the wisdom of your soul. However you can do that, go for a walk or sit and meditate, or just ask your soul, hey, soul, what do you want me to learn here? And can you support me when I have this conversation? Very importantly, be embodied. Call in all of yourself into your physical body, right? So what I mean by that is, for example, like you don't want your aura like 10 feet out from you feeling for like, is it safe? It's like you want to know where your edges are and you want to be certain of who you are in your body. Call on your higher power because you're not alone. Call on the universe, call on God, your higher self, your angels, whatever it is for you, to support you with the highest intention in the situation. All right. I really want to thank you for listening today, for going deeper with yourself, for taking greater responsibility in your life so that you can feel the connection to yourself, to your soul, and ergo, your connection to others. I invite you to come back in a couple of weeks for more teachings, experiences, soothing vibes, and inspiration. for thriving outside of the conventional world. May you connect with who you truly are and honor it. Bye-bye for now, and aho.
Thank you for listening to Realize Soul. If you love what you heard, please share us with your friends. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast directory.